Welcome to Forgiven, a podcast to help inspire and empower Christians to live a more authentic life. On today's episode, we discuss and answer the question of what is evangelism?
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Forgiven Podcast, podcast number nine.
Number nine.
And we are glad that you are joining us. The hope that we have in Forgiven, if you're just listening for the first time, is we're wanting to continue on conversation about faith, and our objective is not to take you and figure that we are going to totally fix everything in your life, but what we want to do is we want to take you incrementally along the way. We want to kind of bring you to a 37 to a 38, if that's where you are in your faith or whatever. And so you might be here and you are right at the beginning of faith, and you're on that journey, and you're maybe considering becoming a follower of Jesus, seriously becoming a follower of Jesus. I'm hoping that this conversation helps. Or you are just new to faith, and you're just trying to figure things out. And sometimes the Sunday morning service isn't enough, and it really isn't enough a lot of the time. We need these conversations with Christian friends and fellow believers and things like that. And so we're talking today about evangelism. Now, let me just tell you, I know I'm a pastor, but I hate the term evangelism. And the reason I don't like it is because I'm not the best at it. I wish that I were better. And it just reminds me of a command that I'm not good at. And I feel guilty every time that happens. And I have family members who I so desperately want to know Jesus. And so let's talk about this topic. And I know people say, okay, now if you're listening, you say, oh, evangelism, let's turn this off. Please don't turn this off, because this is the time that we need to talk about it. And we're wanting to talk about it at a level that will help us consider a little bit more deeply how we can be effective at actually reaching our friends, because I have not met a person who is a passionate follower of Jesus who has not wanted to reach our friends. And so we got Logan here. Of course, Logan, I sit there and say that while you're taking a drink of coffee.
Yeah, I was like gonna say that timing was impeccable.
There we go.
But yes, I'm here.
And Logan is we are the partners here, and we are, what have we hit? We hit number.
So we've done episode 9, but we actually hit our first 100 listeners over that, actually, over the last like 8 episodes, which is like actually pretty insane. That means 100 of you have listened to this. So that's like really, really impressive. So thank you for that.
And please share. Please share so that we can continue to create the conversation online that will help in the process of reaching and ministering to people. We also have Cassandra, and yes. We are glad that she is here. She is a friend of Bethel and has been a part of Bethel, and her family has been part of Bethel for almost ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
creation.
We are glad that she's here, and we are happy to have her because she has done quite well and has studied quite a bit on the area of evangelism. And so let's start the conversation. I said, I hate evangelism. I guess I don't really hate evangelism.
Most people do. I think it's a really, it's a big scary word where we're like, what does that mean? How do I do it? There's also, in the Bible, there's people who are evangelists. You know, we think of some of our favorite evangelists. We think of, who are your favorite evangelists? Do you have any? Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, you know, some of these big names that we think, televangelists.
Yes.
You know?
I was just listening to Luis Palau.
Okay.
That was one that has struck me, who's been effective or who was effective for the case. But there's many. Obviously, there are many, and there are those people who are just naturally at it. But just because there are people who are naturally and I'm not natural at it doesn't mean that there isn't a responsibility for me.
Right. Well, I think that's part of it, is realizing that we have these people that we put on a pedestal or that we see and we're like, they're the evangelists, so they've got it. And we kind of immediately disqualify ourselves, or like you said, feel really guilty that we don't know how to do this, that we're not good at it. But let's be honest, it's really uncomfortable how many people love going out and meeting a stranger, even if you just have to meet a stranger. Like, salespeople are good at it, but the average person doesn't want to just walk up to someone, doesn't know how to start even a normal conversation, let alone try to bring Jesus into that conversation. It's hard.
Yeah.
And I think you're not alone in feeling that way.
Yeah. I think I would imagine as well that there is a spiritual component Mm-hmm. When you begin the process of sharing faith and the process of sharing the faith with the purpose of having a friend say, listen, Jesus means everything to me. He changed mm-hmm. my life. Mm-hmm. And I know that he can change your life as well. Mm-hmm. That there is a spiritual component because Satan doesn't want to lose members of his kingdom as well. Not, I guess that's probably not a good way of putting it. But there's a spiritual aspect to it. Mm-hmm. So maybe I guess the question as I get started is, where is the best place to start in terms of encouraging people to do evangelism?
I guess you kind of said it, that it's part of, if you're passionate about Jesus, I think if guilt is the place you're starting from in almost anything, you're not going to get very far. If fear is the place you're starting from in almost anything, you're not going to get very far. It has to come from this motivation of genuine love. It has to come from this place of going, I actually have found something that's really incredible. I have met Jesus. He has changed my life in a way. And I am desperate that you would also know this. If we're just going out to try and check off a box, if we're just doing things because you think you have to, the fruit of it is not there, right? It's the fruit of Jesus's love, Holy Spirit's love. And so I'd say the first place we got to start. And then some people would be like, yeah, I don't really love my neighbor. You know, I don't really care. And going, yeah. But who in your world do you love and do you care for? Who's hurting and who's broken? And getting Jesus's perspective on that, because he looked at the crowds with compassion and saw people without a shepherd and longed to share with them because he saw where they were at. And I think that's where, if we get honest, if that becomes our motivation, it's so much easier then to step over the fear that is there. It's so much easier to step over some of those boundaries. And so that's probably where I would start, is real love for the people we're talking to. And so if you need to then find a friend that you really love, start with someone you already naturally really love. That's easiest than maybe someone who's super different than you that you don't have a love for.
And but I also think, too, for like the newest people listening right now, it's okay if you're not at that level yet where you don't completely love everybody. Like, that's a growth. We're humans. It's not inherently natural to us to feel compassion and love for, like, all these people, even when you accept Christ and even if you're filled with the Spirit and even when all these things happen to you, you still have a human side that you have to work on, that you have to grow, and that you have to, like, you know, you work out. And so I think that's just really good advice of, like, start with somebody that you know you love, like a friend or a family member, and, like, work through that. I think that's, like, super, super profound.
Yeah. As you're mentioning that, I'm thinking the problem isn't with the people who have just newly asked Jesus into their heart. They're the best evangelists because all of a sudden they have this newfound joy because Jesus has come into their heart. Mm-hmm. It's the old crusty ones like me who have had attempts at it and have failed at it, or have had people discourage me, and getting myself into the point where that level of love surpasses that level of fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I find that there is a love fear continuum. Mm-hmm. And being Canadian, you know, I never want to offend anybody.
Yes. And the highest value.
Yes. And so there is that continuous struggle. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where I've had to, and here I am as a pastor. Mm-hmm. And there have been times where I have had to say, well, I'm going to have to overtake that fear to be able to be bold enough to say something. And that somehow becomes the, mm-hmm. help becomes the issue. So
yeah, well, I think fear is probably, if we get down to it, is the greatest hindrance in sharing. I think there is things like, well, I don't even know what to share, and some of those questions that people have that you can answer, but at the heart of it is going, how do I overcome the fear? And I think you have to identify, well, what is the fear of? Is the fear of rejection? Is the fear of being embarrassed? Is the fear of offending someone? What is that fear? Yeah. And then how do I go, okay, Jesus, I don't want to live according to fear. Sometimes, honestly, I kind of live my life where I'm like, if something scares me, I just go out and start doing it even more because I don't want to live according to that fear. I go, well, it's there, so the only way I know how to overcome it is go, I don't want to live by this. Holy Spirit, help me. And you just attack it head on. And then you slowly start either realizing your worst fears are not that bad, or you're like, okay, that was pretty terrible. Jesus, how do I learn to be better? How do I get over this? But almost every time I've trained people in evangelism, they get rejected and they come back and they're like, that wasn't that bad. I felt great because I was sharing Jesus and I loved doing that. And you're like, okay, it's your greatest fears are not necessarily that scary once you face them.
Well, and it's funny. I just talked about this, but we look at like Peter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was scared and he got out of the boat and he took a huge step and he was scared and then he fell in. Do you think it was fun for him to like fall in the water and all these big giant waves and everything like that? Like, no, that could be equated to like rejection or getting the door shut in your face or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Jesus has his hand ready to pull you out of it and give you this moment of like, hey, you tried it. Let's go and do better next time.
Right.
You know, I think that's like.
And the Bible actually talks about being blessed for being persecuted in for Jesus' name. Actually talks about there's a blessing that they would reject you. Like it says, you know, they've rejected your master. How much more are they going to do it to you? Yeah. But oh my goodness, there's a blessing because so were all of the prophets before us, you know? And so going, we get to actually, that's why I'm saying most of the time, I would almost say every time I send friends out or get people to do this for the first time, when they do get rejected, because it happens, they still come back rejoicing. Like, and they're like, man, I just did something that I didn't know I could do, that I was afraid of, and I overcame it. And Jesus moved in a way.
Yep.
And that's the faithfulness of God to us in the place of us being obedient, which I think is huge in the area of evangelism.
And when you do that and people are actually go out and they take the opportunity, they all of a sudden become more bold in their own circle.
Mm-hmm.
They become bold and say, okay, well, if I didn't die doing it, then I actually can tell my brother and I can actually tell my my neighbor and my workmate and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and evangelism, basically, I guess if we want to define our terms.
We should.
Evangelism is the process of sharing the faith that God has given us, the joy of salvation. When we come to the point where we have asked Jesus into our heart and he has forgiven our sin, you know, there is the impetus for us to share that. And basically Jesus has commanded us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the process of sharing faith. And there's so many angles that we can take this. Mm-hmm. Someone once told me that evangelism is basically joining a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, one of the main things about evangelism is the realization that God is working on people's hearts, and it may be to different levels, but God is there. Sometimes I got saved because God was working on my heart, and someone began to speak. So, why am I not thinking that is the same with other people who don't know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And so, would that be maybe the best framework or the best definition of evangelism? Would you add to that?
Yeah, I think I often think of like some of the parables of the sowers of throwing out seeds with evangelism, and I often think it is just starting the conversation and getting people some sort of intro to Jesus. And sometimes, and not even, it's just God. You going, I was telling a friend, and this is someone taught me this, of like, how do you introduce Jesus into any conversation? And it'd be the same way if I walked into the room this morning and Pastor Mike introduces me to Logan, just says, hey, this is Logan, my friend, you know, he does the podcast. It's as simple as that. And I think it's that evangelism is sharing some sort of piece or aspect of Jesus and inviting him into the conversation of God, sharing a piece of his character and nature so that people are getting some sort of truth that is true about God. And so I think, I don't think evangelism has to be always creation to the end, the full Jesus, you know, lived, died, came back, rose again, will come in the end. I think sometimes it can be as simple as I'm sharing a piece of a truth about who God is, that God's faithful. And this is something that happened in my life. It can be a testimony, but it's anything that is starting to introduce them to the realities and the truth of God in their life and in your life.
Yeah.
And you talk about the parable of the sower. And when I was in Bible college, I had to do this ridiculously long assignment, and I chose the parable of the sower. Don't know why, because it's one of the hardest parables, I think, to understand.
What was it, 5 pages?
15.
15? Oh, my goodness.
But I just remember like having this like internal battle with the parable of the sower as like a young Christian, being like, why is it that some people get to to like scatter the seed, and then some people get to like see it flourish. Mm-hmm. And I was so upset with that. I was like, how come, like, you know, because when you're in ministry, when you're doing all this stuff, we're kind of selfish. I wanted to see the kids that I knew in kids church grow up and become these like Christian people. Cause then you feel like solidified, you feel gratified that like you had a small role to play in that. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, and so then for me, evangelism became this thing of just like, I honestly thought, I was like, well, we're all called to, you know, seek and save the lost. We're all called to do that. Doesn't matter who you are. But I was like, honestly, I was like, maybe my evangelism, and I've matured a lot since then, but I was like, maybe my evangelism is just later. I was like, you know what? I'm going to evangelize to the mature Christians. Mm-hmm. And I had this like realization that like, no, that's kind of not how that works necessarily. I was like, yeah, God uses us for his will whenever he wants. But the parable of the sower is like each type of action that happens is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think too many times the old crusty Christians, as Pastor Mike has said, we kind of forget that evangelism, like you said, doesn't have to be the whole story in one go. It can be one little seed in that moment. You could come in like at, you know, step five in a 10-step process and know that you've done something good.
The role of evangelism isn't the one that finally gets someone to accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. You might be somewhere just along the way.
Yeah. You know? I think especially in our generation, we love a good soundbite, right?
Oh, yes.
You have a TikTok video that's 15 seconds long and that's getting long and you're like, next one. And so even some of these simple things where I think it's statements of, you know, oh, the other day I was praying and Jesus was talking to me about this, or I was really struggling with this thing at work, and I felt like God reminded me that he's my provider. That, I'm like, you have just accomplished more than what most people are terrified to do, but you're just, like you're saying, bringing Jesus into a conversation, introducing something, which I would say part of, if we're talking about street evangelism, that's super awesome and amazing. But if we're talking about start with the person you love, you're starting with your friend, right? Does your friend know that you love God? That is a part of evangelism, because there are unfortunately people in our lives where I'm like, I don't know if they know that I love God. And yes, I'm a really great person. Thankfully in Canada, we have lots of really great people, but what's fueling that greatness? You know, what's making me want to be kind? What's making me want to do this thing? Well, it's a love for Jesus. And it's as simple as saying that, hey, I really love Jesus, and that's why I don't do this thing, or that's why I do. That's why I've chosen to go to church on Sunday. And those simple statements actually help intrigue and catch a lot of people where they're like, what do you mean? And then you've started a conversation. You've opened up a door.
Funny. Sometimes people equate evangelism with inviting people to church.
Yeah.
And I think inviting people to church is just one little step along the way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think, look at that, I got them out to church. Mm-hmm. I've done my job.
For the longest time, that's honestly, like, growing up, that's what I was told evangelism was.
Oh, interesting.
You invite people to church.
Yeah.
I was like, that was, we, when I was in youth, that's what we did. Like, we practiced evangelism.
Totally.
Like, going out and like, and sure, that actually is a step in, I think, part of evangelism, but that's not like the crux of it. That's not the heart of it.
But yeah, like, I don't read it in my Bible. I read,
right?
Go out and preach the gospel, go out and share about the kingdom, go out and do this thing. I don't read, go out and make sure they're coming to this meeting or this service, you know?
If you do
and
a really good service, then people get saved. I don't know. I almost like, I almost find it's like fishing in my aquarium.
That's true.
Fishing in my aquarium, then I'm fishing for fish that are already caught.
Yeah,
I need to get outside of my walls, and that's kind of the challenge. And I know as a church, we have tried to emphasize the fact that we want to be good at the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And if you think about it, one runs into the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really talk about one without talking about the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly is. As I'm talking about this, there's a thousand questions I'm wanting to ask, and I'm not too sure how to do it. And it's such an important thing, because statistics are showing us that there is an epidemic of not evangelizing in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
over the last 10 years, if you look at the statistics, well, we're good at worship, we're good at this, and then there's this straight line downward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, this is a problem in our church. or this is a problem in our city. Mm-hmm. No, this is a problem in our society, in our church, our the Church of Jesus in North America, mm-hmm. particularly. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out, so as a pastor, how do I?
Yeah.
How do I go about changing the demographic, mm-hmm. which is making us more, like I said before, it is at an epidemic level. And as we were talking before, I said, if we don't do something about it, we are going to be entering a dark ages. And your comment was, well, I think in North America, we may already be there.
Right. And I don't say that to be discouraging. I say that because I go, well, when it's darkest, actually, that's where you get to bring light and it shines the brightest. But I think you're both hitting on something that is really crucial, and we just haven't said it out loud, is whose responsibility is it?
That was going to be my next question.
Because I think we're saying, oh, you know, Logan, you're saying, I thought great evangelism was inviting them to church, and going, okay, so then it's the pastor's responsibility, like you said, fishing in your own aquarium, to be teaching them, sharing them, bringing them in, getting them saved, all of those things. And the only responsibility that I have as a Christian is to invite someone to church. And I go, I don't think that's actually true. I go, the Great Commission, like you're saying, if we're looking at Matthew 28, if we're looking at Mark 16, that was given to all of us. And I believe every single Christian and believer has a responsibility and an invitation and a joy. So it's not just this heavy burden, but actually an invitation and a joy to join in with Jesus in bringing and drawing people to himself. And I think that is something where if we can change our perspective a little bit from, well, it's his job or it's her job, to going, okay, I actually have been brought into this family of God. I have been given the word of God. I've been invited. It's a privilege to be able to know Jesus. I personally live in a place where I go, many people don't know. And it's not just because they don't want to know. They just actually don't know. So I go, we have to have the perspective of going, I hold the greatest news on the planet. I have access to the most amazing thing ever. And it is a privilege and a joy to be able to share that and give it out. I want to do that, and I'm going to take my place in being a part of this family, right? If you're a part of a family, we all have chores, right? Yeah. If you're in the house, someone cooks the dinner, someone washes the dishes, there's all these things. I have a privilege of going, my responsibility in this is reaching who I can reach and being around the people that I can be. Because, you know, if you're listening, you're in your office. I'm not in your office. I'm not in your workspace. I'm not in your family. I'm not in your friend group. You are. Yeah. God has positioned you there, and I think it's something that I love about our faith and God is that he gives each individual person purpose and calling and place. He doesn't just give a few. He invites every single person who loves God to be a part of this. Yeah. There's no one who's disqualified and there's no one who's left out. So the responsibility isn't on the pastor. It's on us, and the privilege is on us. And so that, I think, is a huge piece to what you're saying of, like, if we're going into the dark ages, I think it's because we unfortunately had this shift where, well, that person's supposed to do it or the church is supposed to do it. But going, we make up the church. We are the church, so we're supposed to do it, and we get to do it.
That combined with a philosophy that, well, if God's the one that draws them, then he's the one that saves them. Ultimately, I'm responsible for not responsible for that, which to me is a that goes into a whole different direction. Mm-hmm. Someone had mentioned to me, and it is true, and it's been maybe the motivation for me, the only thing you're not going to be able to do in heaven that you are able to do here is win people for Jesus. You'll be able to worship in heaven. You'll be able to do all these things in heaven. You won't be able to reach people for Jesus because they will already have been reached for Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's what the thing is. God has given us he has given us the privilege to share faith, and if we can change that thought in our head, and it kind of leads me to the another part, and I would imagine that you're very passionate about this, is the fact that the aspect of discipleship, you know, if a person is saying, well, okay, so I'm not going to reach someone for Jesus because I really don't know how to, and that deals with the fact that part of discipleship, and this goes for me as a pastor as I think about it, you know, so how good have I been as a pastor at equipping people to share their faith? The thought is, well, go and share your faith. Well, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. What is the process? What is it that a person has to learn about Jesus? And there are small little things, and there's just the witness and just loving people. But there are certain things that we probably need to basically know to reach to reach faith. Mm-hmm. You know, any kind of wisdom that you can give us as I open that can of worms.
Yeah. So I think you've hit on something that is a big topic, because again, that fear and insecurity usually creeps in where it goes, do I even know what I believe? Do mm-hmm. I know how to communicate this? Do I know how to say this out loud? And I think that is where just real teaching and real practice needs to come into place. And I think that is part of the discipleship. And it's hard. I think a Sunday morning is such a short amount of time. And I think the reality for some of these things is we need to treat it and create more of a classroom-like style where you've got question and answers, and then you practice and you do homework. Like, that's how we're going to get a little bit better, because someone can stand up and say, this is the gospel, you know. You can talk about from, like I said, from creation, then you go the fall of man, then you can go Jesus needing to come and save and set us free, and us being set free, and then new creations, and where we're going into eternity, and all of that. But if I've just said that now on this podcast, I doubt anyone listening is like, got it, I can go restate that,
yes.
You know, and knowing where to find, even if we're just talking about all have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, we talk about, I don't know, Romans Road, where you can just quote five scriptures. I could quote those to you right now, but if you're not practicing and learning those, it's really hard. Yeah. And I think that's where I go, for us, it really has to start in that, can we, you know, set up a space where we go, we're going to do some evangelism training, and that is what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks, and we're going to show up and we're going to practice together. I do different times with people when we're teaching and doing it where I'm going, okay, I'll talk about just testimonies, because that's really easy for people to start. Because most, if you're a brand new baby Christian, you maybe don't have your full theology of everything.
And testimony is basically your story.
Right. You just have to say any part of, it doesn't even have to be your full story. Because of course, sometimes we don't want to be as vulnerable as like, this was my whole childhood.
Yeah.
And you've, again, like I said, you got 5-10 minutes with someone. You go, what was one thing about my life before Jesus? What is something that he did? And what is something about my life after Jesus? And what is the anchor piece of that thing that would be the character and nature piece of God? So I can go, before I was super afraid. Then I met Jesus and I realized I don't have to be afraid, because he is my comforter and he has loved me and he is my protector. And those are the things that they're banking and walking away with. They're going, wow, Jesus set her free and protects her and loves her and comforts. Wow, I don't have something like that. And that's enough, where you're going, that's that thing. And so you can teach anyone who is a believer of Jesus can do that. They can think about something in their life that they didn't have. And even if you're 30 years down the road, sometimes it's hard to remember what you were like before Jesus. But I go, hopefully you've grown in your faith. I can think about things from 2 days ago where I go, I was struggling in this area. I talked to Jesus. He met me in this way. And this is something that is awesome about him. And that's very simple. And that's super crucial. And I think that is a great starting place for someone who's wanting to learn.
So when you're training people for evangelism or you know, sharing Jesus, would you get them to write it out, write the testimony out and kind of memorize it that way or what?
Yeah. So if I was doing this, we would have a little teach on testimonies, 10, 15 minutes, kind of going, what's the point of them? Why do we do them? And talk about the Bible and sharing testimonies. And then I would say, okay, let's think of, everyone take 5-10 minutes, think about this. If they want to write it out, great. And then I usually make people stand up and I say, get into a partner, share it. You have 5 minutes. First person go, they share it. Next person go, they share it. Okay, switch partners. Now you have 30 seconds. Figure out how to share it. And we do all different times of increments and times, and we practice and we do it over and over and over again. Because the reality is, if I can't share that with you, who I know loves God and who's mm-hmm. sitting in the same evangelism class as me and is, you know, practicing this, I can't do it outside of that. You know, I'm not going to be able to just say it.
Yeah.
We've got to practice. It's like going to the gym. You know, you go to the gym, you train for your marathon.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if you're talking about the discipleship area of evangelism, or even in many areas in the church, we've stopped training. And there's this analogy of training versus trying. If you were to tell me I'm going to run a marathon, and I said, awesome, that's amazing. You're, yeah, I'm just going to try tomorrow. You go out and you try. Well, you're going to fail, because I can't run that
26
many.
Miles.
Yeah, I can't do it. I don't know about you guys.
Nope.
And so then I'm going to come back and be like, I tried, I failed. And it's the same thing with evangelism. If I'm just like, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to go out and do this. You're going to go out, probably be too afraid to talk to anybody. Maybe you're going to do it, maybe not. And then you're going to go, I tried. That was too scary. That was too hard.
And people will use that as a scapegoat too. They'll say like, they'll go out because they're afraid, and they'll go out and say, oh, I tried it. And then they're going to say, oh, I'm just not good at it.
Right.
And then they're going to go. And it's like, we have this like stagnant culture in like Western churches of just like that. And I don't know how we like break that, but I think like a class like that is like really, really important.
Do you do a long testimony and then a short testimony?
Yes.
You do a little quick shot. This is me. This is me in 13 seconds or 15 seconds, because that's sometimes that's all you have.
Mm-hmm. We practice all of it. Because like I said, you might have 10 minutes with someone. You might have, you're checking out from the grocery store and be like, oh, you know what? The other day I was thinking about this, and you just share 30 seconds and the person's like, whoa, okay. And that, you don't know what's going to come of that. Sometimes that then sparks great conversation. I end up being like, can I get your number? Let's get coffee and talk about more about this. Sometimes they're like, cool story. And that's it. And you're like, okay, great. But I think it's this thing of then training. If you came to me and said, I'm going to train for a marathon, and you're like, tomorrow I'm going to run 2 kilometers because I can run 2 kilometers already. I'm like, awesome. And you said, and then in 2 weeks, I'm going to up it to 3 kilometers. Then I'm going, that's something that you can do. And so you just start in that place of like, you got to train and you got to get more and more. And so then different things of it. Maybe part of your evangelism is going, I'm going to go out and ask different people if they have any pain in their body and if I can pray for them. Yeah. And that's what you're going to do for the next week. You're going to try and find 2 people. And, you know, you can make it easier for yourself. If someone's got a cast or is walking with a limp, there's probably pain in their body. Yeah. You can just go up and be like, hey, I noticed you're walking with a limp. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he heals. Would you mind if I pray for you right now? Even in Canada and many countries, I don't know if I've ever really been rejected by people of every different background of faith. Because most people, if they've got pain, they're willing to try something. Yeah. And just they're willing to go for it.
Reach people at the level of desperation.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess my question is because I think a lot of people are listening and be like, that's great. Mm-hmm. But then what do you do if they aren't healed in that moment? Because I think, and not to say that God can't or won't heal or anything like that, but I've seen it happen where I've gone to do this and I pray for somebody, and I was a little more of a Christian at the time. And I was like, hey, I was like, you know what? I hope your pain goes away. And I was able to like pray for him and walk away, and it was fine. But I know that other people might not be able to do that. And so it's like, obviously we go out in faith and boldness expecting it to happen, but it's like, God's got a timing for all of these things. And so it's like, I think that's partially, we go back to that fear portion of it, of like, I think people are really afraid to step out and do that, because it's like, some people are really, really excited to go out and do it. And then when it doesn't happen, they get discouraged. So how do you coach them through that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think that then comes into the bigger question and picture of, where is our responsibility? The reality is, I have no power to heal anyone of my own power. Like, I could do as many wishful things as I want. I could toss holy water on it that's just normal water, you know, and nothing would happen. It's Holy Spirit. And I think even with evangelism, if I share and someone doesn't want to accept, that then has nothing to do with me. And so in the area of prayer and healing, it is a scary one. People are really freaked out. What happens if it doesn't? I go, then I pray for tons of things, and they've just said yes to being accepting for prayer. Yeah. My prayer then usually includes, Lord, and I pray for their family. I take it to wherever I want to in that space, and going again, most of the time, I personally have never had anyone who's gotten angry or mad or been hurt or been upset. Most of them are like, thank you so much. I'm like, I really believe God can heal. And I hope this is totally gone. He loves you so much. Most of the time, or I would say all of the time, I've never had anyone go, well, why wasn't it healed? And I go, oh, well, Jesus is the one who has the power to heal, and he really loves you, and I don't know. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that answer of going, I don't know, I'm not God. Yeah. But going, I'm walking in obedience to what the Bible commanded, and that's what I've got to do. Yeah. And so I think it is scary. I think one of the things that maybe is helpful for all of this evangelism going out is, you don't have to know every single answer. Yeah. And there's actually a real beauty in being humble and saying, I don't know, instead of trying to come up with something, instead of trying to give some biblical Christianese answer that, that isn't always great and sometimes can actually discourage or say something and paint God's character and nature in a way that isn't true. But going like, oh, I don't know. That's a really good question. Why don't we, can I get your number? And I'll do some research. I'll talk to my pastor about this and we can chat. I'd love to get, again, they're more into that and honesty than they are, well, I don't know. And you walk away angry or saying like, well, God must not love you. Like, no, of course, that's not true. But going, I think we've got to be okay going, I don't have to know every single answer. I'm just starting a, I'm starting a conversation. I'm starting a relationship. If I don't know, do you want to learn with me? I do that all the time with people. I'm like, oh, I don't, that's a really good question. Why don't we study together sometime and see what the Bible has to say about that? All of a sudden, you got a friend who wants to meet and study the Bible with you.
Right. Interesting. So, so we're here in podcast as you're, if you're just kind of listening in here, and we're actually talking about evangelism workouts.
Yes,
is what we are talking about, and the fact that I've been unsuccessful. Well, chances are you probably haven't taken a look at it in terms of working out, getting yourself in evangelism shape.
Yes.
And this whole concept might be new to some people. And one of the things that Cassie, you had mentioned is one of the first workouts is your testimony. And then that testimony can be long-term and short-term. And you need to have the short-term. Sometimes the short-term is probably more important than the long-term one because it gets the foot in the door. The other one is to actually consider ways that you can pray for people. Another one might be scripture references that you need to have down, maybe.
I think I often, if someone says things or in different conversations that I'm in, I'll often say, oh, that reminds me of, and I'll say a scripture. I don't know the statistic for this side of the world, but I know that where I live, the number one reason people come to faith is because they had some sort of interaction with the Word of God. It's not that they knew a Christian. It's that somewhere along the way, they read a verse, they were introduced to scripture, and it changed their life because they got hungry and they got interested. And then once someone gets the Word of God, it really can go so deep. And so we are super passionate. I did it, you know, the other day I was talking to a girl and I asked her the meaning of her name, which that can be an awesome,
that's a good,
you know, opener. You know, what's the meaning of the name? I get to live in a country where there's, you know, lots of different languages. So they usually have really beautiful things. And she was saying treasure. And I said, oh my goodness, that reminds me. And I said, there's this parable in the Bible about a man selling everything to buy a treasure in the fields. And you know what? I think Jesus died on the cross because you were a treasure that he wanted and he longed for. And he gave everything to have, you know, immediately like that. You're like, it's a simple thing. You ask questions, you figure it out. And again, people might be going, well, you know the Bible. I'm like, you know the Bible, John 3:16, for right? God so loved the world. That's a simple one where anything can open up that door, where, you know, don't be anxious for anything. Someone's telling you how worried they are. That's a simple, you go, oh, you know what? The Bible tells you that you don't have to be anxious for anything because God clothes the lily of the field. He cares for the birds of the air and he cares for you. And so actually you don't have to be worried if you trust in Jesus. And simple. Everyone in our world right now is worried. So
if there was certain scriptures that would be good that you have utilized a lot, you know, would there be, say, well, if I was running a course on evangelism, I would say, here are the verses that you need to memorize or know, or is that too constricted in the way we would do evangelism today?
Yeah, I don't teach or have just like, these are the five verses. Yeah. I think here's the part to evangelism that maybe has changed or is different from where we think it's one person standing and sharing the gospel to a large crowd. I think it's far more powerful when it's relational and it's one-on-one. And again, relational can mean you just met them, but that's the beginning of a relationship. And I think at the heart of evangelism is getting to know the person you're talking to and getting to hear where they're at. And so I would say the next training thing that I would probably have someone do is say, get really good at asking questions. Yep. Get really good at going like, how are you doing? You know, how's work going today? And hearing something from them, or how's your family? How's this? Because once you hear a piece of where they're at and what's going on in their life, then you kind of tailor things to them. And I think that is where the beauty is, the power of the Holy Spirit coming in and engaging with evangelism with you, is that if you can get good at asking questions, and can be simple questions, you know, how's your health? How's your children? How are you feeling about this? You know, how, I don't know enough of the main life topics of what, I mean, you guys would know, what are some of the main things in Canadian culture that are the big questions that people are facing or struggling with?
I mean, you could always ask people. I mean, let's actually get really applicable for Canada, because I think one of the ones that you could always ask somebody, I mean, you can always ask them about sports. That is always an inroad in Canada, especially come hockey season. You can like, you can always ask somebody, and 9 times out of 10, even if that person doesn't like watch hockey regularly, I bet you they have a team that they cheer for just based on where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly is an inroad into having a conversation. So that, I think, is like a big one. And I think sports is just worldwide. But in Canada, I think that's a really, really big one. And then the other thing is ask them about, well, I want to ask them about the political climate, but that opens up a whole other can of worms that I don't necessarily think is the best inroad for that. But Canadian culture is at this point right now where it's so divisive. And so it's like, you have to find a way to sort of bridge that divisiveness.
I find that every person has an area of interest. And if I can find that area of interest, then all of a sudden the door becomes easy. You no longer have to worry about talking. If I get talking about barbecue, you know, I've got a barbecue, charcoal barbecue. I find another person who does the smoking. They make brisket, or they'll make ribs, or they'll make a roast on the, well, we'll talk for hours about barbecue, because that is something that they're passionate about, something that they do. Could be that they're into curling. Could be that they are a bird watcher or whatever. And even though I don't have an interest or even a knowledge of it, all I have to do is have a limited amount of knowledge, and then all of a sudden that just opens a door for them to be free to speak.
Totally. And you know what? A really simple thing, once you get people onto a topic that they love, you can just say, man, I love that God created you with such a love for this thing. That's so fun. God created that too, and he loves that you're passionate about that. All of a sudden the person's like, wait, what? God created me with... Wait, like it just, and I'll toss that into any conversation that someone's talking and they're going, man, I love barbecue. I love this. And being like, oh gosh, isn't it so great that God gave us taste buds? Imagine a life without taste buds. And it, all of a sudden you've brought God into the conversation just even a little bit. And they're like, oh, I've never thought about that. And I'm like, isn't he so kind?
So you're
like,
basically talking about little bridges.
Oh, little bridges into anything. And you just, even, you know, some of the things that I'll do is maybe big bridges that are a bit bolder in asking questions. So where I'm at, tons of people have moved there away from their family. So loneliness is a really massive issue. So I can say, you know, where are you from? How long have you been here? Are you really do you have any family here? Are you really lonely? And 9 times out of 10, the person will be like, yeah, it's like really lonely. I really hate being away from my family. And I go, gosh, I totally get that. You know, when I'm really lonely, you know, I read my Bible and I put on some worship music and I just feel the presence of God, and I know that he's there and he's near. And that's true for you too. That if you feel lonely, you can ask Jesus to meet you, and he'll meet you in that place, you know? So then thinking of things in Canada.
That's actually pretty relevant, I think, even to Canada. I mean, with just like the mass amount of multicultural people that we have here who have come and moved away from their families. Like that's like, I think that's a really good inroad as well.
Yeah.
I find as you're saying this, and I'm trying to resonate with maybe some people who are listening, because you're in the conversation and you know you're talking about barbecue, and then all of a sudden God somehow gets into the picture. This bridge is built. And all of a sudden you're swimming in an uncomfortable water. Because all of a sudden God has been brought into it, and then there was the people say, okay, this is a religious person, and they're trying to persuade me towards something. Is there anything that you do to calm the waters as you come in? Because that's a crucial time in a conversation about sharing faith.
Yeah. I don't know if I notice people getting uncomfortable as much as I'm going. Usually people will go like, huh, I've never thought about it like that. Or they'll, you know, if they don't, they're like, I don't agree with that. And you're like, okay, I just believe God created us. And, you know, and it's simple. It doesn't have to be, again, that doesn't have to then be the next 20 things that I'm going to say are all going to be about God. I think sometimes we're like, well, I started it and now I have to get to a place. And I think most of the time I would say people feel uncomfortable if they think you have hidden agendas.
Yeah.
And so you just don't have hidden agendas.
Yeah.
My agenda is to have great relationship and friendship, and who I am is someone who really loves God. And if I bring that in and introduce that from the beginning, you know, quickly into conversation and different things, then if the person's continuing to engage with me, they know that there's no hidden agenda. I'm not trying to get something from them. I'm being my normal self, which my normal self would be really thankful that God created barbecue. That's my normal self. I would say that comment to anyone, you know, like something good happens in my life. I say, oh, praise the Lord. Like, that's just my normal language. That's, I'm not trying to manipulate or do things. And so I think we get caught up. My one friend always says this of, don't have a hidden agenda, but it's okay to have agendas. They just can't be hidden. Exactly. Like, it's okay that you want to share Jesus with them. It's okay that God is a part of your life. It's all of these things. But I think where we get muddled, and then I think people feel really uncomfortable, is when they're going, are you trying to do something? Are you trying to get something? And you're like, no, I'm not. I am not trying to do anything in your life. Yeah. I'm sharing truth.
Yep. And that, I guess, would be another workout, really, is to establish authentic relationships which are not based on whether a person accepts Jesus or not.
Yeah.
So if you never, ever receive my message, I'm not going to neglect you and go on to the next person because you haven't received my message.
Totally.
I'm going to love you no matter what. And so even if you say no to my message, then I'm still going to be your friend and I'm still going to build that relationship no matter what.
Yeah. And we call it those bridges that you would say, we call that fishing. So, and I kind of don't love the term because it feels funny, but it's just kind of tossing things out and seeing if the person jumps over it and doesn't come back to it, you know, okay, they're maybe not super intrigued by it, but often people will come back and be like, you said that about God. Like, what do you mean? And then there's a question where you're kind of putting things out there to see, are they intrigued at all? Are they interested at all? They now know that I have a faith. They could ask me anything. I think that's something that, like you said, in these little workouts of what is my goal in the conversation? Well, most of the time it's the person who's right in front of you. So you're going to be interacting with this person anyways. And they're a human. They're loved by God. They're deeply important. And they're not just important for, well, if I get them saved, I'm looking at them as a project, or I'm looking at them as any other way. When they're a person who has value. And Jesus really, really values them and really, really loves them. And sometimes that's even where I go when we get the workout of asking questions. Sometimes that's just great because God really likes listening to people. And I find in our world a lot of people just want to be heard and just want to be listened to.
I think we have to stop treating people like projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like a big and for me is like that was one thing like with my friends and everything was like I was like, they're not saved. It's my job to do that. And that was like, and now I've matured and I've grown past that. And I recognize that like, no, it's not my job to try to save them. I mean, that's my goal, but that's not necessarily my role or my job right now. My goal is right now is to just be their friend. It's to listen to them. It's to just support them. And that's like more influential, I think, to them than trying to come at them and invite them to church all the time. Or, you know, get them to do this or get them to do that with these hidden agendas. They're not projects, they're people. And I think for too long the church treated people like projects. And again, I don't think that's necessarily wrong because we do want to like help people, and I think the goal of it was like the heart of it was good, but I think we just went about it like a really right way.
And that's why a lot of the activities we've done in church recently have been based on the fact that we want to be a church in our community for our community. And so that means that when you come in and if you come and enjoy this event, you're not going to be given a track or anything like that. We just are doing this because we simply love you. And there's a mandate that we have in our faith to love you no matter what. And so whether you never, ever come into this church again, that doesn't matter. Everything that we are giving you, everything that we offer you is our love for free. And the fact is there might be something that happens somewhere along the line and you may need our help and we will help you. And even if you still don't come to the church, we're still going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big difference in the approach. And it's because we authentically do love people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we get back into this, one thing that I've always tried to say to people in terms of evangelism, and I guess it would be considered a workout, is this. The simplest thing you can do for evangelism is think of five people and daily bring those people before God. Mm-hmm. I want to see my brothers, you know, come to know Jesus. I have a close friend that doesn't need to know Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people say, I don't have any close friends who don't know Jesus. I said, well, isn't that kind of problematic to start with? So I said, then find someone, mm-hmm. even if it's a neighbor, even if it's a coworker or something. Mm-hmm. Those are five people that I pray for every day. Mm-hmm. And those are the starting steps for evangelism. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and I had a friend who did this. It's just really smart. He got basically a deck of cards, and I think the back of the deck of cards is like your normal, like the bicycle. Mm-hmm. And the front of it was an invitation to church. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have said, you know, inviting people to church isn't necessarily evangelism, but what it did for him is it got people to at least be bold enough mm-hmm. to invite them out to church.
Yeah.
And so there are 52 weeks in a year, mm-hmm. 52 cards in a deck. Mm-hmm. So he gave him this deck of cards with, instead of a card, mm-hmm. the back of the card would be like a card. The front would be just an invitation to church.
There you go.
And he said, you know, you can at least invite one person a week to church. Mm-hmm. But that was the stepping stone mm-hmm. to being more bold and doing it. Like I said, it was the first kilometer for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so this is an important thing. And I think that as we're talking about this, there are a lot of people who are sitting, who have been Christians for a long time, thinking, you know what? The reason I'm not effective in reaching people is because I'm out of shape, and maybe I need to start doing some of these things. Mm-hmm. Any other workouts that you can think of that you would
that I would encourage? Let me think. I feel like, honestly, I would just say talking to people, truthfully, is the workout of going, where do I regular, and who in that place can I start getting to know? I think, you know, we've got three Tim Hortons, maybe more now, but you got one or two Starbucks, you've got four or five grocery stores, and you probably go to the same one every week or every day, you know, and going, so where do I regular and who do I see there regularly? And starting just conversations with the people, the girl that's getting your coffee, the person that's doing your checkout at the grocery store, the guy that's just stalking an aisle, is just starting conversations. Be like, hey, how you doing today? Like, how's it going? How's work? And I think that helps break down some of those things where you build a relationship and a friendship. And again, we live here in Brandon, at least in a small community, but even if you live in the largest community, there are still places that you regular. And so figuring out, where am I regularly going and who is there that actually I can start a genuine friendship and relationship with? And then from that place, I can share a little bit, or I can even invite them to church. But going those places, sometimes it's as simple as just sitting down and going, you know, I talk to the same person in this drive-through every week, or there's five different ones, but I'm going to get to know all five of them. And even asking their name and addressing people by their, like, giving value to people is huge, especially in the post-COVID world, in the saying, I see you and I'm grateful and I'm really appreciative of what you're doing. How you doing? And then the next time you see them, oh, hey, you know, I'm Cassie. I come here all the time. It's so nice to see you. Thank you so much for always serving my coffee. It's a real joy. You bring joy every time I see you. And then even can attribute that to God, be like, you know what? I've seen you around here in Sobeys a few times. And I just want to say, like, thank you so much for doing this. I feel like God really loves that you are so diligent in your job. Simple, you know, and it's not hard. So I just say, where do you regular and who are you frequently around?
Yeah.
In our society where we're kind of on our own and kind of have our own little bubble, mm-hmm. that restoring the art of hospitality is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Just being able to love people and accommodate and allow them into your life mm-hmm. becomes a big thing. Mm-hmm. Hospitality, basically in its original roots, talks about being kind to the stranger.
Yeah.
And so that would be the person that you really don't know but have interaction with mm-hmm. somehow. Mm-hmm. Extending kindness, just getting together with a neighbor who you've never been together with and inviting them over to your house. And even if you have vastly different views, it doesn't mean you can't love them, right? So all of a sudden, person comes to a level of relationship where they begin to ask, so what is it that you believe? What is it that you believe? And I'm wondering as if part of the workout, as if I'm just kind of going along this theme, is there a part where you, for lack of a better term, close the sale or at least present clearly?
Yeah, I think
the gospel.
I think there can be any number of questions that can help get you to the gospel, which is wonderful. In that sense, that someone can ask something very simple about what you believe. And once they've asked a question, you hopefully can transition. Now, that can be scary. That can be hard. Again, it comes with a bit of practice. But I guess it's a little bit hard in a hypothetical, but going, say, you know, you've had a few interactions, you've got relationship, they ask you a question, you've shared a little bit. Again, I don't know if off the first time hearing the gospel, anyone's like, yes, I'm in for that. Now, not just because they don't want it. They want to experience the love of God. They want to have that. They want to have the peace, the joy, the things that you're talking about, and they can. I often will pray with different people who maybe, you know, don't love God, and they experience the presence of God. And I think there is a difference between people experiencing the presence of God and making a choice to decide to follow them. And so with the way I kind of do some of that is where it does transition to a bit more discipleship, because I think for me, when people choose to follow Jesus, it's a real choice. It's not just this flippant, like, yeah, that's great. I want that peace thing that you prayed. I felt some wow, that was incredible. I want more of that. It's like, no, he becomes Lord of your life. And there is that kind of more serious, you know, choosing to follow Jesus is saying that he has authority and rule, and I don't live for myself anymore. And it's not just I show up on a Sunday. It's every aspect of my life is dedicated to him and for him, and that the word of God is going to be the manual for the rest of my life and how I'm going to live. And that means I'm not going to choose to get angry. You know, I might get angry, but I go, that's sin, and understanding sin and understanding repentance. And so I do think that piece comes with a bit more seriousness, because unfortunately we can do these, do you want to love Jesus? And everyone raises up their hands. And I think we've maybe haven't served people in really understanding what the choice to follow Jesus is, you know, what the cost of discipleship is. Yeah. But there's this really awesome quote, and I never get it all right. There's a cost to non-discipleship. Dallas Willard talks about it, where he goes, the cost to non-discipleship is choosing to live a life without peace, without joy, without freedom, all these things. So I guess that's where, even in evangelism, I would say our expectation in one conversation to take people from 0 to 100, they're not actually getting to 100, because they probably don't have any idea what they're really signing up for, and you're probably going to lose them. But actually going slow and gradual, I mean, I look at Jesus, he did 3 years with guys before they got saved. Now, he hadn't died yet, so they couldn't get saved, but he still went 3 years with people. And that's not to say God doesn't move and encounter people really quickly. But I think there is a, if they're like, yeah, no, I want this. Because I've had people where they're like, no, I want to follow Jesus. I'm like, wait, really? Like right now? And I go, okay, but like, it's not just another God that you're adding to your list of gods. It's not another thing. They're going, no, I really want this. I'm like, okay, great. And then they're in, and it's awesome. But I think there is that kind of getting a little bit more serious and going, this is the choice. It's not, it is a choice to really follow Jesus and humble yourself and say, I want that.
It's a big step going from the superficial to the serious. Mm-hmm. And as a pastor, sometimes I see people who have been at the superficial for years and then figure they're mature. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes becomes the problem, or they have a relationship which is based on a condition.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought this is what it's supposed to be. So if God does this for me, then I will serve him. And that's not really the way it is. Mm-hmm. Right. So
that we get into the whole other topic of discipleship, which I always say evangelism and that kind of thing is getting their feet wet, is getting them introduced, making sure they know you love God, introducing God to them, that they're starting to know different aspects of who God is. They're starting to experience who God is. Thankfully, I think for most of us, we'd say we didn't just come to know God because someone gave us a perfect, this is all the aspects of theology. It was a journey. It was a process. God created us with emotions and feelings, and he encountered almost all of us. You know, I've met very few people in the world who are like, I am just a Christian because I studied it and decided it was right. Huh. Most people have a story of some sort of encounter, some sort of experience, and that's God's kindness. He made our feelings, our emotions. He did all of those things. So going, there's a journey and a process, and that's okay. We just want to help people start to have that, start mm-hmm. to see that, be on that journey, and then help them, as they say, really, truly, I want to love God because I've experienced his love.
So do you want to talk about discipleship? Do you want to get into that? Because if you do, we would like to kind of extend that, and we will.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of evangelism and, mm-hmm. and the workouts and things like that, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I don't know if I'll add, but I think it's always good to just kind of cap going, you know, like you said, we need to be around lost people. You can't do evangelism if you don't have anyone who doesn't know Jesus. And so who are you around that's lost? Where are you regularly going? Who are you regularly around? Who are your close friends or the people you already love? Then how can you be praying for them so that love grows in your heart? Because that is what will happen. I promise you, if you start praying for people, love will grow in your heart. Because that's how Jesus is, and he loves them dearly. He's invited us into that. And then we just get to do simple things and practice. Grab a friend. Don't do it alone, I think would probably be my last advice. Don't do it in a group of like 10, because it's really overwhelming if there's 10 of you. But grab a buddy and say, hey, I want to grow in this. Accountability is so important. Say, would you come out with me on a Friday night? Would you, you know, ask me next week if I talk to anyone new? Even if you've never talked to anyone new in a grocery store, just try that. Don't even try it, you know, bringing Jesus into it. Just saying hello. Yes. Just saying hello. How are you? How's your day going? Or if you're grabbing chips next to somebody who's grabbing another kind of chips, be like, what's your favorite kind? You know, it's simple things. But have somebody that you're accountable to saying, this week I'm going to try and start a conversation with someone I don't know. And then get your buddy to ask you the next Sunday, hey, did you do that? Awesome. This week, maybe we'll try praying for someone, you know, or maybe we'll try even just saying like, hey, I just want to pray that God blesses your business that you're in when you walk into a business, you know, and you set little goals, but have an accountability person that you're keeping.
Evangelism accountability.
Yes. Because it helps when your buddy's like, I did it. And then, you know, not that I think guilt is good, but there's sometimes some healthy competition where you're like, oh, they did it and I didn't, you know, oh, I really want to do that. And then again, if you're afraid, that person, you just say, you know what, I really wanted to do it this week, but I just realized I'm super afraid to do that. Well, all of a sudden, God now has invitation to tackle fear in your life, and you're going to get free, and someone's going to hear about Jesus, and your accountability partner can help pray with you and go, okay, well, let's just pray. This week, God, we don't want to walk in fear. Help us not walk in fear. And you've got a friend to do that with, which is wonderful.
So maybe you're listening, and these are the first steps for you. You need to consider an accountability partner, or maybe you're considering some of these workouts. So anything to add, Logan?
I would say, I mean, Cassie's touched on it, but I think set realistic goals. Mm-hmm. If you're starting at ground zero, don't set the goal that you're going to go and just instantly take this person and lead them to Christ right on the spot. That's not to say that it can't happen, mm-hmm. but set a realistic goal. Mm-hmm. So I love that you just said, just start by talking to somebody new. Mm-hmm. So many times, young Christians, we get it in our head that, oh, because we see these things in the Bible, we compare ourselves to these people who are doing these incredible things. And yes, God does incredible things, but we as humans still have to set a realistic goal of something that we can achieve. Because if you set something out of your reach, you're just going to become discouraged and you're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. So set an achievable goal, and one that is like actually achievable within a week. Because if you set it further than that, you're going to forget about it and you're not going to do it. So find an accountability partner and set an achievable goal. Mm-hmm. Whether that be, I'm going to talk to two people and that's it. And then you slowly, as you gain more confidence, as you, you know, get better at it, then you set a better goal. Yeah. And then you set a better goal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll say this, that I think that there are a number of us that are out there that feel that there's maybe a holy grail to evangelism, that if I can just hand them this book or if I can just do this, then evangelism will be easy.
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you this, but I don't think that there's a holy grail.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was, it would take the joy away from actually telling people about Jesus, and which is what we are learning. And despite the fact that that is the case, and I know that there's a lot of people, a lot of friends of people, even myself, who are in this case, you know, I desperately want my friends and my family to know Jesus because he has done so much for me. And we can go through all of the semantics of training for evangelism, but at the end of the day, you will still have to open your mouth. And that is part of the process. But take the chance. Take the chance to walk across the room. And you will all of a sudden realize that, that God is there more than you think he is. So that's what we have. I'm hoping we can have another talk with you real soon. As a matter of fact, I think that we will. But I just wanted to close this section off. Wanted to thank everyone for joining us. Hey, share this with other people. Cassie, thank you so much. We only have so much limited time with you as you are around and traveling. But thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate having you.
No problem. It is a privilege for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Good. And thanks for joining us for Forgiven. Again, our hope is to be able to help in whatever way we can. If you have any questions, we do have an email that you can contact, and it is
forgiven@bethelbrandon.ca. You can email us any questions or follow Bethel Brandon on social medias. Leave your comments and questions there. I read them all and manage all that stuff. So we will hear you and we will reach out to you. We want to know how we can best serve you.
Amen. And so that is our goal. So God bless you, and let's keep the conversation going. Have a great
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forgiven. Please, if you want to get in contact with us, please email forgiven@bethelbrandon.ca. Please, also, if you like the episode, please hit the share button, share it around with all your friends. And on Spotify and Apple Music, please leave us a review. Tell us how we can get better. The more reviews we have, the more we share, the more people we can help inspire and empower